I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Breaking news, Brendan just called me cool off the air. He's half my age. He thinks I'm cool. I know, I didn't record it, so I don't have evidence, but it happened.
You know, the best stuff happens when the mics are off. You know,
that's so true. Especially in the case of this podcast. No.
It's kind of like one of those guys that says, oh, I did something cool, but the tape didn't work.
Nope, yeah, or photo, or it didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. The camera wasn't recording.
What's today? Wednesday. It's throwing me off because I have a game tonight on a Wednesday, which is weird, but the weather is throwing the schedule into chaos once again.
Well, this is self-sabotage here, so.
Is it?
Well, I mean, you gave yourself the assignment, so.
That's true, but my game last night got rained out, so I was like, well, I got to cover something tomorrow on Wednesday, and there you go. I don't guess I have to, but I will. Because I like my job. I really do. Thanks for joining us. Brendan is the other guy you hear on the mic. Just holding the mic because that mic stand is pretty much dead. It just slowly descends throughout the program. And then Brendan being a tall guy is having to like stoop just to...
Oh, you called me tall.
Talking to it. There you go. I'm cool. You're tall.
Well, one of those is actually true. But
wow. You're off the show. We're brought to you by Pizza Doctor, by the way. You should check them out. Midtown Point in Tupelo. We got a sausage and a pepperoni today, so go to Pizza Doctor, get some. It's good stuff. That's all I can tell you. We're coming to you again on a Wednesday. We do every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Although we're doing something different now, we're moving away from WordPress. John Luke tells me so. Honestly, I'm not even sure if we're going to have the same address. I won't know until I finish recording this and he walks me through how to post this to the new...
I believe the college podcast is on the same, like, iTunes thing or whatever, so...
Okay.
Should be fine.
But you should still be able to find it in iTunes, yeah, and any other of those apps. Because who actually listens to a podcast on their web browser? Really? Probably old people.
I mean, I figure podcasts at this point are just exclusively for, you know, kind of like morning transits or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Where was I? I'm struggling today, Brendan. God.
I know. Just the other, just a few minutes ago, you went up and got up.
I got up. And
then you talked to me for a second. And you're like, I have no idea what I'm even doing.
So I had to walk back to my desk, reset, and then I remembered what I needed to do. Yeah. I'm cool, but I am getting old. Okay, so we've got some stuff to talk about today. Obviously, the Andrew Brown situation, if you haven't heard what that's about, you've obviously been out of the country or dead or something. That's been the big news. We'll get to that later, but also we're going to go over the all-area basketball teams that we unveiled this past weekend. But first, let's get to the Diamond and a couple of updates for you there. While my game did get postponed last night because the field was too wet, I was going to go to softball at East Union. Brendan was able to cover a baseball game, Ripley at Itawamba AHS, and that was a very important game in the race for the Region 1-4A title. Ripley ended up with the win, 2-1 was the final. They got a really good pitching performance from Cooper Davis, allowed just one run on three hits, struck out 9 6 2/3 innings. And Ripley got the two runs it needed in the fifth when Will Cavanis hit a two-run single with the bases loaded. So those teams will meet again on Thursday in Ripley. So that's – I was talking to James this morning when he came in. He's like, that was a fun game last night. Move quickly, pitcher's duel. And to me, that's my ideal type of game too. Not a big fan of the 10-8 ball games. Just not, for various reasons. So, yeah, he got to see a good one there. His story is up at djournal.com. And then Brendan had a story that was in today's paper, also can find at djournal.com. baseball teams this year for the first time can use these little one-way radios to for coaches to communicate with catchers, basically to call in pitches or whatever else. And you had a nice little story on that. You spoke with Justin Reed, the Tupelo head coach, and his son, Lake Reed, who's both a catcher and pitcher. And then I think you talked with Daniel Rousey, the Biggersville coach. So, yeah, the NFHS, the National Federation of High School Associations, passed a rule before the season that teams could use these communication devices. Basically, it's just a one-way radio, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of I guess it just sort of depends on what you order and what company you buy from and how much you want to spend and all that. But at its very basic, like, it's basically, like Tupelo, for example, their setup is, you know, the catcher is wearing, like, sort of an earpiece, and there's, like, kind of like a some sort of, like, communication pack, like, on the back, and it just kind of clips into the rest of the catcher's gear.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, all right, you know. You know, if the catcher's not calling the game, it's like, you know, fastball outside. Like, when I covered, I think it was the Morville Kossuth game earlier in the season, just where I sat down, I was, like, right in front of their pitching coach.
Mm-hmm.
So you could hear the pitching coach say, all right, fastball away, right?
Right, right.
And then, you know, the next pitch, I'd watch a fastball away, which is sort of like, I guess, the Houston Astros version of watching a game, right? So, I mean, it was kind of interesting to watch from that perspective. But,
yeah,
you know, it's really simple. As far as baseball tech goes, I mean, this is a baby step.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see that, you know, Mississippi is able to – I mean, this is for everybody in the country, but a lot of teams in Mississippi have already adopted it, which is a really good sign. You got to keep up with the times, Brendan. You know, because you go from used to be, you get a signal from the dugout, the coach, to the catcher, and the catcher would signal, you know, put down his fingers and for the what he wanted the pitcher to throw. And then in recent years, you've seen the little cards, the wristbands, where they just call out a number and they look at it on their wristband so they know what to throw and where to throw it. That can, you know, lead to other teams figuring out what you're about to throw. So to me, this is a really great way to do things. It speeds things up, for one.
Yeah, that was the big thing I heard, was that it speeds things up, just because you don't have to worry about, you know, switching out cards or whatever. And it's also just simple, you know, like, you know, you got the coach and you're going, hey, throw the change up, you know, low and outside or whatever. And then, you know, it's probably just a quick, you know, signal from the catcher to the pitcher from there, and you just lock and load.
Yeah.
And then sort of the other thing that I thought was interesting was, like, for example, Lake Reed at Tupelo, he calls games most of the time.
Yeah, he's like a third-year starter at catcher. So, yeah, he's been doing this a while.
Yeah. But on Saturday, he wasn't. But just for example, but – you know, even when he's calling the game, he still has, you know, one of the Tupelo coaches in his ear being like, you know, like, this guy really hits the inside fastball really well, so maybe don't throw it, or maybe don't call that, or so on and so forth. Like,
little scouting reports.
So it's more than just, you know, hey, throw this. It's, you know, you get feedback.
Yeah.
Not like the kind of audio feedback, not that kind of feedback, but like actual, you know, coaching feedback.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Anyway, Brendan had that story in the Wednesday Journal and also at djournal.com. Cool stuff there. Okay, let's recap the all area basketball that came out on Saturday. Ooh, one of the toughest, maybe the toughest all area team I've ever had to pick in any sport was this year's basketball team. There were so many players, good players that simply did not make the cut. We do the top 15, first team, second team, third team for boys and girls. Players of the year, those weren't too difficult. Macy Pfeiffer of Ingomar is the girls player of the year. Kedrick Simmons at Boonville, the boys player of the year. Girls coach of the year, Regina Chills, led Blue Mountain to its first ever state title. Boys coach of the year, Jonathan Ashley, led Ingomar to the 2A state title. A little bit ahead of schedule. I mean, I knew this group he had could be pretty good, but even he, you know, at one point during the season, wasn't sure that they were going to figure it out, but they did. mid-season got just kind of hit the skids, and you had the snow and the ice and everything, and kept everybody out of the gym for several days. And he did not like what he saw from them when they came back to that first practice, but they eventually put it together, reeled off a bunch of wins in a row, and won the title. So as far as the teams themselves, you know, I'm not going to go through and list every player, but the first team, the boys' first team, DJ Davis of Oxford, Trey Gunn of Bickersville, Trey Holiday of Itawamba, Dallas Pounds of New Site, Kedrick Simmons of Boonville. The girls' first team, Carly Brock of Belmont, Sanaya Cook of Boonville, Tootie Lockett of Starkville, Macy Pfeiffer, mentioned her, and then Jade Rucker of Tupelo. Had a few haters got on me about some of my selections, but, you know, it happens every year. You're not going to make everybody happy. But I did agonize for literal hours over the course of putting this team together. I mean, I start looking at candidates, you know, like mid-season. So I'll kind of try to pare it down as much as I can as the season goes on. But
I mean, it's difficult this year, you know. I mean, we had, what, 8 state title winners
yeah.
in the area? I mean, like, it's
yeah. I mean,
it's not easy.
No, and I mean, just look at the junior class for this year. You know, I had a couple of columns recently about the top 10 players in the class of 2025, and boys and girls, both, it is extremely deep. Speaking of which, I guess I need to talk about the boys' rankings for the class of 2025, because I believe I talked about the girls last week. But, yeah, number one, no surprise, Kedrick Simmons, who is our player of the year. So, yeah, he gets to come back. So does Tim Holiday, a first-teamer. Dalton Jackson of Boonville, really good point guard. Demetrius Duffy of Tupelo. David Washington of Starkville. Dylan Johnson of Baldwin, I got him at number 6. McKinley Brown of Pontotoc. Then Jordan Medcalf of Shannon, Tristan Baldwin of East Union, and Ashton Pierce of Bruce. So you can find that story at djournal.com. Just click on my byline on something so you don't have to scroll all the way down. You can find it that way. Okay, now let's talk about Andrew Brown, the story of the week, the running story of the year already, I would say. The Tupelo freshman is one of the best in the country in his class. In fact, he has the top time in the 1600 meters for a freshman this year. Well, if you haven't heard, let me give you a quick recap. He ran at the New Balance Indoor Nationals in Boston on March the 7th, I think it was. The night before he went, somebody, the Brown family and Tupelo High School were informed that somebody had filed a complaint about Andrew running in this race because it apparently violated an MHSAA rule. And not only would it get him in trouble if he ran, it would get the program in trouble and get them put on probation for like a year. So once they learned that, Brown decided to, okay, well, just Tupelo decided to take him off the roster. I mean, at this point, it's the night before, Brendan. Put yourself in his parents' shoes. They've doled out all this money for hotel and plane tickets. You know, some of those things are you can't get refunded within a certain window. Like 24 hours, and they've already paid the entry fee for the race. It's a big national race. It's a huge deal for him. And then they get told the day before he leaves that, well, technically not supposed to be running in this. It's a convoluted situation. And at the end of the day, yes, he did violate the rule, which is Rule 6.2.3. Since he was taken off the roster, he ran unattached, which is not allowed by that rule. And also, he did not get approval from the MHSAA to run in this race. Of course, the Brown family, they say they didn't know he needed to get approval. He's done this before. He ran in a race like this last year. Nobody told him he had to get permission from the MHSAA. Basically, Brendan, it's like there's a lot of lack of transparency with this whole rule, because people have been doing this forever, running in these races unattached or whatever, without getting, you know, approval, and it's never been a problem until somebody reported Andrew Brown. Seems unfair to the kid, don't you think?
Yeah, I was going to say, I just sort of feel bad for him because it seems like he just got failed by everybody because nobody told him about any of this stuff. And he's he's a freshman in high school.
I know, can you imagine 15 years old and having to deal with that stuff? And of course, I failed to mention, if you haven't heard, he has been declared ineligible for the remainder of the track and field season.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge race for him personally. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's where all the college coaches will see him.
I mean, Brad, you've been doing this for a while. I mean, how often do you see these kids from Northeast Mississippi running in these kind of races?
It's not
Let alone common. At his age.
Yeah, especially at his age. It's not common at all. Now, you'll have kids from around different parts of the state, including Northeast Mississippi, that run in these races. And again, they've been doing it for years without any repercussions because nobody reported them because everybody was like, well, you know, either they didn't know about the rule or just since it was not enforced, they're like, okay, I guess we can do it. And the MHSAA has told me that, you know, well, they don't go policing that. They just, it's only going to enforce it if somebody files for a complaint.
The rule is very silly.
The rule needs to be changed. I mean, I get the intention of it. They're not wanting some kids to just go run out of state all the time because, you know, I mean, you want your kids to run in state because they're Mississippi kids. You want, you know, I get that. But
and I'm sure, you know, just with costs and budgets and all that, you don't want certain programs to have advantages or whatever.
Right, right.
But, I mean, this is huge.
Yeah, this is
it's
a big,
bigger than that.
Yeah, it is. And so it's really a travesty, and they're going to appeal. Hearing is set for April the 4th. I mean, I don't know if they're going to win that appeal, but there's so many pieces to this story. I'm not going to try to get to them all and, you know, could have some more coming in the, you know, with the appeal and then whatever else, such as figuring out exactly who reported Andrew Brown. But anyway, I've had a couple of stories on that in the past week, so check them out at djournal.com. And that's all the time we have for this episode. Thanks for joining us. Oh, before we go, though, I need to mention Athlete of the Week nominees. Silly me. Female Athlete of the Week nominees, Jada Ellis of Ripley, Caroline Hamm of Saltillo, Rebecca Mason of Wheeler. Male Athlete nominees, Cade Brown of Hickory Flat, Hayes Hooker of Tupelo, and Daniel Whitfield of East Union. We'll have a poll up shortly on our Twitter page, at DJournalSports. You can vote for male and female Athletes of the Week there. And now we're out of time. And good show, Brendan.
Thank you.
Despite my struggles. Yeah.
It's been a week.
It has been a week. Gosh, it's been a week. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at Brad Locke. Brendan's on there at BFerrell727. And for Brendan and Podgator, I'm Brad. See you next week.